Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Listen to these words taken from Psalm 103. Put the verse in music. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah, all within me, bless his name. Bless Jehovah and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. He forgiveth all thy transgressions, heals thy sicknesses and pains. He redeems thee from destruction, and his love thy life sustains. Listen as it's sung. Reading again today from John chapter 8, the words of Christ, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He hath sent me, and is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's give thanks for such a wonderful way, through God's word, leading us to Christ, believing on him, the Son will set us free. Let's pray in his name. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for all that is given. We have reason to do as the psalmist has wrote, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless thy holy name. Father, we have many more reasons to bless thee than we do of any complaint. We know that there are things that bring sorrow. There are things that make us weary. But we know that in all of it, we are blessed more than we deserve. We are given more than many, many others, both in the natural things. We have much in food, raiment, shelter, freedom, peace that others do not have. And we pray for them and for thy mercy on them. We also give thanks, Father, that we have thy word, which others may not have seen or heard. We give thanks that we have it in freedom. We give thanks also the heritage that we have, that the word was given so wonderfully to our forefathers, our pilgrim forefathers coming here, because they believed thy word and were persecuted because of it. But they had been set free by it. And though they came here to a wilderness through much hardship, suffering, death, we give thanks for what has been given to us through them. And we pray that we might be able to return to the faith of our fathers that was lost soon afterwards. We give thanks that there have been awakenings and revivings. And we pray that there might be that again in the church. We pray for other needs that there are in the schools, the workplace, government, especially in government, Father, when it becomes divided and when even the worst part of the government is in pride and thinks that it is the best. We pray that this blindness might be taken away, and again that the church might be made a salt and a light in the nation, that truth might reign, and that we will begin in the Word and continue in the Word till we are set free through Christ. Amen. Looking at this portion of God's holy Word again, and we give thanks that we have that. We give thanks that it is that. It is a holy Word. It is, as we've seen before, the Scriptures which are inspired by God. They are profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And I mention them again and again and again. We need all of that. We need once more to endure sound doctrine. Paul, writing to Timothy, as we read some time ago, said the time will come when they will not do that. But Timothy was commanded to preach the word. The word of God. Christ said here, if you continue in my word, this that he spoke on earth that we often have printed in red in our Bibles is Christ's word in a particular way spoken here in time in the time he was here on earth. But when we go back to what was written by Moses, Samuel, David, Isaiah, others, that is also the word of Christ, one with the Father. He who, in the last part of this chapter, stated in the 56th verse, "Your father Abram rejoiced to see my day and was glad." And they immediately countered what he said, and they said, "Well, you're not even 50 years old. How hast thou seen Abram?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." He may well have been the one with the Father to talk to Abraham, to tell Abraham the things that are written by Moses about God's word coming to Abraham, especially the promises made, the promise of Christ himself. We could read here, "Abram saw my day and was glad." Truly a wonderful thing, prophecy in Scripture. Prophecy of things that have been fulfilled. Prophecy of things that are yet to come, both of the church and of the world. We won't go into that now, but it is part of what Christ states here in this 31st verse. "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Here the emphasis on that we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. What we need for ourselves, each and every one of us. We all have to be made free. We're all born in bondage. We all need to be born again. We all need to be made alive by the Spirit of God. Sometimes we read of it as more just with the emphasis on the Spirit. Other times we read of it, Spirit and Word, as Paul wrote to one church and said, "We came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Spirit and much assurance." We also read, when we think of the new birth or quickening, as it sometimes is stated, Paul wrote that to the church at Ephesus, "Quickened together with Christ." In James, we read, chapter 1, verse 18, "Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Further in that chapter, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." The word is there, perfect, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. A word that we need every word of. Moses wrote that. Christ stated it when Satan tempted him. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We should think of both. One is that we need the word for ourselves, but also every word for others. Christ prayed for the church. He prayed for those who would believe on him just before he died. He prayed four times for those, stating in his prayer that they might be one, over and over. Two times he gave the reason, that the world will know that thou, Father, sent me, he said. We need to know it for ourselves. When we pray the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should think of it for ourselves. Thy will be done on earth in me, as it's done in heaven. We should not just think of it for others. Sometimes we pray for the world. We pray for those that need to yet be converted. We pray for other things for other people, and there is a place for that. I sometimes hear people pray for others, even by name, those that need to be saved, but may not mention themselves. There was one who prayed particularly for himself. God be merciful to me, a sinner, described by the Lord Jesus as one that went to his house justified. He must have known the Word. He must have continued in the Word till that could be said of him. He went to his house justified. There was also the comparison rather than the other. There was one praying with him, the Pharisee. I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men. And then pointing even to that publican. Pride. Better than others. Many times, as we mentioned last week, that is in the church. That we know about Christ. We know all the things that took place in his life. We have that historic faith. But do we have a saving faith? That the one who came 2,000 years ago took on him the form of a man, fulfilled the word that was prophesied of him long before, some of it 4,000 years before, the seed of the woman spoken of to Adam. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Spoken to Abraham of Christ. Later Paul said that seed was Christ. And it was fulfilled. And told Abraham that it was coming. And as we already read earlier, from the 56th verse, your father Abram rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. He saw it through the word that was given him. We may believe, as many other things in Scripture are needed for each and every one of us, Abram received and was given what he needed. He needed also every word. On the one hand, we might say, well, he didn't have all the words that we do. Very true. Didn't have the Scriptures. Moses wrote them later. But only God and Abraham know how much God spoke to him. How much was made known to him. We know that certain things were made known. Even of his descendants, they would go into Egypt. What would happen? A number of years they would be there. All of that was told him. And that was later recorded by Moses. But God must have spoke that to him long before Moses was born. And then Moses was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write it, what we needed to know of those things. Certainly not all of them. Some of these things are spoken as what I just quoted in the calling of Abraham in the beginning. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God repeated that to Abraham sometime later, right after he was ready to offer Isaac. God stopped him. The same words were given to Isaac after a time, four chapters later, the 26th chapter of Genesis, recorded there, and those words were also told to Jacob on the way to his uncle Laban, chapter 28. All of those words repeated, and we are given them as well. Peter repeated them in Acts chapter 3. Paul repeated them in Galatians chapter 3, stating that to Abraham was the gospel preached. the gospel preached. Have you heard the gospel? What is it? Paul stated to the Corinthians, I preach to you the gospel by which you are saved unless you believed in vain. And then he stated what the gospel is. Christ dying for our sins according to the scriptures, being buried, rising again according to the scriptures. Yes, the scriptures. The gospel was given by what was written. Paul knew it. He had preached it from it. At times we read, he proved from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Paul very likely went back to Moses, David, Samuel. Peter mentioned Samuel in Acts chapter 3. Samuel and all the prophets, he said, spoke of him, of Christ. The seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman. All of that is in Scripture. All of that is part of what you and I must know that we might know the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Sometimes we think of that enlarged. We hear of the gospel of grace, and we must also know that. Some people believe that the gospel is basically Christ going to the cross, and that is true. What we just mentioned, the scriptures said he would do so, and as it unfolded in his death, his crucifixion, we read different times that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Again, we need to know all of these words. We need to continue in the word to know this rightly, to know it in a general way. And there are many details that we can continue to learn from and to see Christ dying, the Son of God. The one that stated in verse 29 in this 8th chapter of John, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He described much of that later in John 17 in the prayer that he offered just before Judas came with a band and took him. There he describes it as, I have glorified thy name. Here, he states, I do always those things that please him. We need the scriptures to do the same. That which glorifies God. That which pleases and honors the Father. All from the message of scripture. We must begin with it, and we must, as we read here, continue in it. Too often, I'm afraid, we're waylaid by tradition. It rules out what God really said. We read certain things in Scripture that we need to believe, that we need to do. We say, well, we always did it this way. Christ went so far as to say, you make void the commandments of God by your tradition. It's a terrible thing. But something so important as the Word of God, to allow the word of man to overrule it. I remember a statement once when talking about a certain doctrine, speaking of it from Scripture, one stated, we have to respect these men. Do we? If they speak other than the holy word of God? The word of which God states himself and states of us as well. To this man will I look, him who is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. There's not much trembling when we just say, well, we have to respect these men. Yes, we can respect men. We can listen to men. But we'd also better do what some are described as in the scripture. When Paul went to Thessalonica, he started to preach there, and the Jews that believed not, moved with envy, they took unto them certain lewd fellows and baser sort, gathered a company, set all the city in an uproar, assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. That's what happened in Thessalonica. What happened? They sent Paul, Silas away. They went to Berea. And we read there, after they sent them to Berea, Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Then in verse 11, we read, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Search the scriptures daily. Oh, how much we can learn from that in the church and in the nation. Our nation is getting to such a place where one part of the nation just says there's no use talking to others. They don't understand. Some think they are so far progressed when they simply are regressing, going from the truth, going from the faith of our fathers. Our broken homes prove a lot of it. Other things as well. The murders in the schools, the murders of the unborn, all of that. And people call it progressing and say others don't understand. We can't talk with them. Yes, that also happens in the church. I've mentioned different times through the years of the phrase covenant of grace. Some will just say, well, that's your tradition. Some will say, dead wrong, not wanting to do what we have here as a good example. And that is part of continuing in the word to set us free. We need to have what the Bereans had, you and I, every church. If we're so smug, just close our mind, say others are wrong, we will never have the blessing of the Bereans. They were more noble, received the word with readiness, searched the scriptures whether these things were so. And that brings us to what Christ said. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. You will be my disciples, learners, and the truth will set you free. Free from the bondage that you don't know you're in. It will teach us that too. And then it will bring us back to God in repentance. It will bring us to Christ in faith. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.